The Starfish and the Spider: The Unstoppable Power of Leaderless Organizations. Authors: Ori Brafman and Rod A. Beckstrom. When we look at the world, we naturally seek order. We look for hierarchy all around us. Whether we're looking at a Fortune 500 company, an army, or a community, our natural reaction is to ask, who's in charge? We look for the spider. One head and eight legs. So, if you chop off a spider's head, it dies. What happens when there's no one in charge and no hierarchy? You think there will be disorder, even chaos, but in many arenas, a lack of traditional leadership is giving rise to powerful groups that are turning industry and society upside down. The rules of the game have changed, from spiders to starfish, a creature that doesn't have a head. Its central body isn't even in charge. In fact, the major organs are replicated throughout each and every arm. If you cut the starfish in half, you'll be in for a surprise. The animal won't die, and pretty soon, you'll have two starfish to deal with. Starfish have an incredible quality to them. If you cut off an arm, they grow another. And with some varieties, an animal can replicate itself from just a single piece of an arm. They can achieve this magical regeneration because in reality, a starfish is a neural network, basically a network of cells. Instead of having a head like a spider, the starfish functions as a decentralized network. In a process that no one fully understands, the other arms cooperate. There isn't a brain to make this decision. Thus, there is no central command. 10 questions to differentiate between spider and starfish organizations. 1. Is there a person in charge? A coercive system depends on order and hierarchy. There's always a pyramid, and there's always someone in charge, someone who will have his head chopped, or he could possibly be this very head. 2. Are there headquarters? Every spider organization has a physical headquarters, one that's so integral that if we don't know whether a company is real or not, we often check whether it has a physical address. Starfish organizations don't depend on a permanent location or a central headquarters. It is equally distributed across thousands of community centers, restaurants, even airports. 3. If you thump it on the head, will it die? If you chop off a spider's head, it dies. If you take out the corporate headquarters, the chances you are killing a spider organization. Starfish often don't have a head to chop off. 4. Is there a clear vision of roles? In decentralized organizations, anyone can do anything. A part of the decentralized organization is akin to a starfish arm. It doesn't have to report to any head of the company and is responsible only for itself. 5. If you take out a unit, is the organization harmed? Units of a decentralized organization are by definition completely autonomous. Cut off a unit, and like a starfish, the organization generally goes just fine. 6. Are knowledge and power concentrated or distributed? In spider companies, power and knowledge are concentrated at the top. The person in charge is assumed to be the most knowledgeable and has the power to make key decisions. In starfish organizations, power is spread throughout. Each member is assumed to be equally knowledgeable and has power equal to that of any other member. 7. Is the organization flexible or rigid? Decentralized organizations are very amorphous and fluid. Because power and knowledge are distributed, individual units quickly respond to a multitude of internal and external forces. They are constantly spreading, growing, shrinking, mutating, dying off and re-emerging. 8. Can you count the employees or participants? It is possible to count the members of any spider organization. Just check the payroll, membership rosters, or other records. On the other hand, counting the members of starfish organizations is usually an impossible task. It's not only that no one is keeping track, but also that everyone can become a member of an open organization or likewise withdraw their membership at any time. 9. Are working groups funded by the organization, or are they self-funding? Because they are autonomous, the units of a decentralized organization are almost always self-funding. In open organizations, there is often no central wall of money. Individual units might receive funding from outside sources, but they are largely responsible for acquiring and managing those funds. Things are different on the centralized end of the spectrum. While some departments produce profits, others traditionally incur costs. Headquarters redistributes revenues, ensuring that each department is adequately funded. 10. Do working groups communicate directly or through intermediaries? Typically important information in centralized organizations is processed through headquarters. In open systems, on the other hand, communication occurs directly between members. Standing on five legs. A decentralized organization stands on five legs. As with a starfish, it can lose a leg or two and still survive. But when you have all the legs working together, a decentralized organization can really take off. Leg 1. Circles. Circles are important in nearly every decentralized organization. Because circles don't have hierarchy and structure, it's hard to maintain rules within them. No one really has power to enforce them. But circles aren't lawless. Instead of rules, they depend on norms. With norms, it's about what you, as a member, have signed up for, and what you have created. Leg 2, the catalyst. The catalyst is an inspirational figure who spurs others to action. It develops an idea, shares it with others, and leads by example. It is like the architect of a house. He's essential for the long-term structural integrity, but he doesn't move in. Leg 3, ideology. Ideology is the glue that holds decentralized organizations together. For example, the engineers at Apache don't get paid a penny, but they're motivated by a desire to create a better product. They believe in an open system and respect one another's contributions, not because they have to, but because they want to. Leg 4, the pre-existing network. Typically, it takes the special skills of a catalyst to enter a network, but the internet's changed everything. Today, the internet serves as an open platform on the back of which a wide variety of starfish organizations can be launched. The internet not only makes it easier for people to communicate, but also provides a fertile ground for a host of new decentralized organizations. It is because of the internet and the platform it provides that we are seeing a revolution. Leg 5, the champion. Champions are inherently hyperactive. Like catalysts, they operate well in non-hierarchical environments, but they tend to be more like salesmen than organizers or connectors. The new world. Decentralization has changed the rules of management from spiders to starfish. Here are these rules. 1. Diseconomies of scale. It can be better to be small. 2. The network effect. To increase in overall value of the network with the addition of new members. 3. The power of chaos. Starfish systems are wonderful incubators for creative, destructive, innovative, or crazy ideas. Good ideas will attract more people, and in a circle, they'll execute the plan. 4. Knowledge at edge. Toyota understood this lesson and encouraged its assembly line workers to innovate and make suggestions. 5. Everyone wants to contribute. 6. Beware the Hydra response. This is the many-headed beast of Greek mythology. If you attack one head, two more will grow in its place. 7. Catalysts are crucial. 8. The values are the organization. 9. Measure, monitor, and manager. Be a cross between an architect, a cheerleader, and an awestruck observer. 10. Flatten or be flattened. Take a hybrid approach. Yes, decentralized organizations appear at first glance to be messy and chaotic. But when we begin to appreciate their full potential, what initially looked like entropy turns out to be one of the most powerful forces the world has ever seen.